Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 3rd chapter, which you heard read earlier. John the Baptist is the fulfillment of Isaiah's Old Testament prophecy. He is the forerunner of the Messiah. He is the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." It was much like the days in which we live in today. In John's time, people were lost in idolatry and sinful rebellion. So God called John to prepare the way for the Messiah. And his message was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, many times when we think of the kingdom of heaven, we think of a physical place, God's kingdom up above somewhere where he lives with all the saints, Jesus ruling as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But in the overall context of Matthew's gospel, and considering the grammar of the original language, the kingdom of heaven, and also the kingdom of God, as John sometimes calls it, it could also be interpreted as the reign of God. The kingdom of God, the reign of God, the reign of heaven, which God, John, is proclaiming, it's not primarily about a place. It is a divine action that occurs wherever Jesus is working through his words and deeds. When John says the kingdom of heaven is at hand, he is talking about both the now and the not yet. The now, announcing that God the Father is sending his Son to bring God's reign into the history of the earth and judgment against his enemies, salvation for all who believe. The not yet is announcing the nearness of the ultimate judgment day and the last days that have just begun. John is announcing that God himself in the flesh of man will be entering into his creation, breaking into human history to reign and restore his creation through his earthly ministry. And one day he would return to pronounce the final judgment on all mankind. Now we have to remember that you and I, are not John's exact audience that he is preaching at in this particular text. You are not the brood of vipers that he is speaking of. You already know who Jesus is. You have been baptized into Jesus, called to faith by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you have already begun a life of repentance. But nevertheless, the fact that John is warning the Pharisees and the Sadducees about the not yet judgment day, when all believers will be gathered into the barn of our God's heavenly kingdom, and all the unbelievers will be cast into the unquenchable fires of hell, this tells us that John is also preaching to us. And he gives us three important aspects of preparing for the second coming of the Lord. First, by repenting of and confessing your sins. Secondly, by living in your baptismal grace. And third, bearing fruits of repentance. And we'll unpack these one by one. Concerning repentance in our text, the word repent is an imperative. It is God's imperative calling you to repent. The word repent means repent now. Change one's mind, turn around, feel remorse, and be converted. And repentance is not reserved only for unbelieving people. It's an imperative for you and me and all people. When Martin Luther posted his 95 theses on the church door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg, the very first of his theses states, when our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ, said, "Repent," he willed the entire life of believers to to be one of repentance. And Advent season is also a season of repentance. And for you, brothers and sisters in Christ, a life of repentance means to quit kidding yourselves about how good and holy you are and how much better you are than your brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a time to daily consider and recognize your sins in thought, word, and deed. Then repent. It's time to turn away from your wrong paths and return to the Lord your God and seek his forgiveness. How do you do this? Well, you immerse yourself daily in God's word so that his word drowns out the voice of the devil, the world, and your sinful flesh, so that you follow Christ, your Savior. You let God's word shape how you think and how you live so that you can walk in the ways of God's commandments, his good and gracious will for your lives. The Lord's command to repent is not only about being sorry for your sins, but it also includes faith. Repentance and faith. Believing that God is loving and gracious to forgive you all your sins for the sake of Jesus' work on Calvary's cross on your behalf. Now, this isn't something that you can do alone. It's only by the power of the Holy Spirit creating and sustaining faith in your stone-cold, unbelieving heart. Because weeping over your sin and your guilt without faith in Christ gets you nowhere. They claim the three hardest words to say in life are, "I am sorry." But as you well know, a simple "I am sorry" many times just means "I'm sorry I got caught." Well, I would suggest there are three other words that are even more difficult to say. And that's when you look someone right in the eye and say, "Please forgive me." When you sin against God or someone else, you and I would rather argue till we're blue in the face before we would really like to fess up to our sins and transgressions. We would rather argue and backtrack and make excuses rather than say, "I am sorry, please forgive me." But confession of guilt and asking for forgiveness is part of the contrition. It is evidence of your sorrow for your sins and your repentance. And that's what we see happening in our gospel text this morning. We see the evidence of contrition and repentance as the crowds come from Jerusalem and all over Judea and the region of the Jordan, gathering at the river to John to be baptized and confess their sins. But not everyone that comes to John is truly repentant. The Pharisees and Sadducees only come to investigate what this John, weirdo John, is doing there in all his camel's hair. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, John recognized their unrepentant hearts. And he denounced them, calling them a brood of vipers, warning them that they need to bear fruits of repentance because God's judgment day is coming. When the believers will be gathered into God's barn in heaven, and the unbelievers will be sent to the unquenchable fires of hell. Advent is a good time to be honest with yourself and God, confessing to one another and God those sins that you have done and those things that you have left undone. Our whole society has kind of become unhinged. We are all rude and heartless, betraying, slandering, telling outright lies about other people. And for ourselves, we desire to live in extravagance and parade around in our vanity, bragging about ourselves. But the truth is, we all have baggage. We all have sin. It's just some of us are a lot better at hiding it than others. all sorts of immorality, idolatry, jealousy, selfishness, and greed. So, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, heed John's proclamation. By preparing the way of the Lord, by turning from your shameful ways, feel remorse for your sins, and repent. Get back into the rhythm of confessing your sins to God and to one another. For our Lord wills that the life of the believer be a life of repentance. It's time to turn around and change your way of thinking and let God's word shape your thinking, your words, and how you live. The second aspect of preparation for our Lord's coming is to live in your baptismal grace. Ancient Jews had a long list of ceremonial washings to purify them from their uncleanliness. But John's baptism was new and unique. It was a one-time washing of forgiveness of sins that looks forward to the last day when Jesus will return and baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. It'll be that day when Jesus returns to separate the sheep from the goats and the chaff from the wheat. It's a baptism that laid the foundation for Christian baptism, the baptism that you have received. In your baptism, you received the gift of the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit united you with Christ. His saving work, his gifts won for you on Calvary's cross, are now given to you by virtue of your baptism, forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. And as you prepare for Christ's return, living in your baptismal grace is remembering all of those promises that Christ gave you in baptismal waters. It is treasuring those promises, trusting in them, and living in its power and peace. And if you do not do it already, Advent would be a good time to follow Luther's cue in the Small Catechism. Live and treasure in your baptismal grace. In the morning when you get up, make the sign of the Holy Cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Remembering that Trinitarian formula that you were marked with at the font, reminding you that you are baptized. Not were baptized. Your baptism is not something in the past. It is your present tense reality. You are baptized. Luther would tell the devil, go trifle with someone else. I am baptized. It is your precious gifts that God has given you, your present tense reality. They are with you every day, and they are yours. The third aspect of preparation for Christ's return is John's command to bear fruit in keeping with repentance. You see, bearing fruits of repentance is not optional. John warns us of the judgment to come. He says, every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. The good Lutheran question, what does this mean? Well, it means that the Holy Spirit, given you in baptism, works repentance and faith within you by working through God's word. And that's why it's important to let God's word shape the way you think and the way you live, and to live in your baptismal grace. And it is not you who produces the good works, but it is only by the power of the Holy Spirit working through you that produces good fruit. And what are these good fruits? Paul gives us a little list. He says these fruits are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So you prepare for Christ's coming by bearing these good fruits of faith in service to your neighbor. not because they earn you anything towards your salvation. No, Christ did all that work already for you in your stead. But you do these good works and deeds, these bearing fruits out of the love of the one who died and bled for you. How do you bear fruit? Well, serving your neighbor as God in Christ has served you. Helping out with projects and serving on boards at church and giving your tithes and offerings so that the gospel might be continually proclaimed at this place and around the world. Scripture teaches us that the reign of God is at hand. God's divine action occurs wherever the gospel is proclaimed in its purity and wherever Christ's sacraments are administered according to his institution. In the absolution, Christ serves you and he reigns, forgiving you all of your sins of lying about others, your sins of immorality, idolatry, jealousy, selfishness, and greed. And just as God called John the Baptist to prepare the way for Jesus in this idolatrous and evil world, he also calls you and me to prepare the way. And it all starts with repenting. Repentance, confessing your sins, and living in your baptismal grace, and bearing fruits of repentance worked by the Holy Spirit. The Lord is coming. We prepare the way. How soon is Jesus coming? Well, we don't know. Jesus, in the book of St. John's book of the Revelation, Jesus says, "Surely I am coming soon." Well, that was written 2,000 years ago. Well, that sounds like soon must not be very soon. Maybe God's slow. Well, St. Peter reminds us that the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count as slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Jesus has won forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for you. And in return, you trust and receive his gifts. Nothing that you have earned, but everything that you do not deserve. And shouldn't we want those other people that we know to experience this undeserved love that Christ loves us with? Well, yes. So we prepare the way for Christ's return, calling others to repent and confess their sins and to be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit, bear fruits of repentance that the Holy Spirit produces. So brothers and sisters in Christ, in closing, we repent and we rejoice. For behold, your King is coming to you, righteous and having salvation. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.